Greetings, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. How are you? It is Thursday, December 18th, 2025, and there's a good reason why the podcast is late. I'll get to that in a minute, but first, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for rating and commenting and all the wonderful stuff that you do to keep the podcast moving, and particularly a shout-out to our lovely supporters over on Patreon. Thank you very much. I appreciate your support. And if you feel like you want to support the podcast and keep the thing moving, you can sign up for Patreon for free 99 and get some free episodes. And there's also a trial for brand new members. You get 7 days to check the whole thing out. And then we have exclusive episodes available for paid subscribers at $3 a pop per month. That's it. Just $3 a month. That's it. So you want to throw $3 this way, keep this thing going? Much appreciated. If you just want to share it and enjoy the free stuff, also fine too. If you just like the regular free podcast, guess what? We're back again with another installment. So yeah, we'll get into why the podcast was late this week. Yesterday, I was helping my stepdaughter and my son-in-law move into their new apartment. It was a grand affair, honestly. It was crazy because there was only a handful of us there. But we knocked it out, and I got to give them a lot of credit, first of all, for getting things prepped and ready and staged for us to just run right in there, start grabbing stuff and shuffling it out the door. Good on you. That actually helped a lot when it came to, hey, who's going to put this there? We're going to put this where? So there. And we made it work. And like I said, got everything pretty much discharged in about record time. I mean, we really started getting rolling around about, you know, quarter to one, and then by like quarter to five, everything is pretty much wrapped up. So thanks to everybody who came to help out. It was actually a good time, aside from a crappy neighbor who was just, you know, you got those neighbors that like they got to be looking out their window every minute of the day. They got nothing else better to do with life but just looky-loo on everybody else, and then they're mean about the shit. So we're trying to back this truck up into this spot where we're like, this would be great because we can get to the stairs that are like stable. The front stairs are like mad shaky and very narrow. But we're trying to back this truck up there. And this old lady was just like, hey, you idiots, you're going to break all the piping under there to put down for irrigation. Now, this area that we're talking about is probably about, if I had to guess, it's a little bit larger than, you know, the average, you know, one-story house. So probably somewhere between, like, you know, 3,000 square feet. There's one little tree that's, like, not little tree. There's one large tree that's, like, right outside this, what would be an access point for, like, you know, landscapers or, you know, technicians or whatever to drive their vehicles through there. So we're like, hey, man, we can just drive this truck through here, back it up down the line, and then we'll be right there. You're going to break all the pipes. Yo, when I tell you that this tree was about the only reasonable fixture that was anywhere near there you could see, it was it. And like, as far as the irrigation's concerned, one, this entire area is filled with big ass potholes. Like if it had good steady rain for like, you know, a good Florida rain in the summer, like, you know, 10 hours or whatever, the whole day is basically rain. It would be like small wading pools that you could put like a baby in. That's how big and deep these damn potholes were. So we're like, oh, shit. So we're trying to navigate around those. And this old biddy is back there just, I mean, you guys are idiots. And you're like, look, dude, there's a way to talk to people. And there's a way to not talk to people. And you're just lucky that you're talking to people who, like, were reasonable human beings. A less rational human being would have dragged you down them stairs. Like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Call me an idiot. You know, do you recognize my face? That's because you never seen me here before. That means I don't know what the fuck is underneath this ground. And also, there's a way to approach somebody when you know something they don't know. And that wasn't it. It was not my jam. I was like, just ignore this, bitch. We're going to keep moving. But everybody else is like, nah, we'll just go. I'm like, definitely the better part of that decision-making process. I was just more tired. I wanted everybody to just be able to get this stuff done and be able to relax. But we still made it work. So, old crusty lady aside, and some old crusty dude that was down there like, you know, you guys are going to ruin everything. I'm like, yo, look, first of all, in this giant ass area,
where none of the vegetation is anywhere near where we're standing or we're driving this vehicle. If they decided to run their irrigation underneath this giant pothole-filled area, then they're stupid. And if it gets broken, they deserve it. Because this is just dumb. Even a truck, like a regular, if it's that shallow and if it's that poorly designed and poorly laid out, then a regular, you know, utility vehicle or a Comcast or AT&T vehicle, like an internet service provider vehicle, could crush those pipes. So this truck ain't doing anything that another, you know, regular size vehicle couldn't do. Or even like a large lawnmower probably could break them if it's that badly done. If it's that badly done, then you should talk to the management company here. They ain't got shit to do with us. So they were just a bunch of, you know, just old mean people. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people get in their older age, they just feel like they could just say whatever they want. You got to remember, too, though, like, while you're supposed to respect your elders need to respect youth and virility, because if cooler heads hadn't prevailed, one of y'all could have got touched. And we're going to lay hands on you, but not in the biblical sense. There's about to be some furniture moving around inside and outside the truck. But yeah, so that was why I wasn't here yesterday. I spent the better part of the day doing that. And I got up early to try to make sure I could make shit happen. And to be honest with you, I'm gonna tell you, I tell you guys all the time, get up and do something. It doesn't have to be a lot. You know, walk around your neighborhood. You know what I mean? Do some push-ups and sit-ups. Do some stretches and side bends. You could do side bends or sit-ups, but please don't lose that butt. Anybody remember Sir Mix-a-Lot? It's not just me. All right. But yeah, you know, I was looking around, you know, what I could move, what I couldn't move by myself and whatnot, helping out as much as possible. Climbing over shit, Spider-Maning my way through the truck, just climbing on top of furniture and laundry machines and everything. And, you know, I'm not a young dude anymore, but I mean, I felt great. Like, body was moving right, knees and ankles and wrists and joints were still working. And, like, the worst of it was when I stopped. Like, when I stopped moving and I had to drive home because it was, like, late. So I'm hitting rush hour traffic. It took, like, almost 2 hours. Well, it's like, hour and 45 to get home. And then I was hungry, so, I mean, last thing you want to do when you've been working all fucking day is come home and cook. But sometimes you got to. And I was talking to my wife, and she was like, I didn't take out anything. I thought we'd just do leftovers. I'm like, man, I'm not feeling any of this shit. She's like, you want to just get burgers? I'm like, let's get two, because I'm going to eat both of them. And I did. Proceeded to eat two burgers and, like, basically a half a bucket of fries almost. But, man, I felt fantastic. And I could feel the soreness start to set in. But that's just because, you know, I'm not in super physical shape, but I'm in decent enough shape that I can move furniture for a day. And yeah, it was just take a hot shower, get some food, drink a lot of water, took a couple of Bayer to make sure I didn't have any extra achy poppy joints or whatever like that, and then sleep. I want to say by like 9:30, I was passing out. By 9:30, I was in bed, and then I slept and then woke up at like 4:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning, I'm up and I'm like, I don't want to be up right now. You can feel a little bit of that stiffness creeping in. So I'm like, let me get up and walk around, do a little bit of stretches, like, you know, high knee lifts and stuff like that. Walk around. Just kind of lounged out until it was time for me and the wife to go and do some stocking stuffer shopping today, which we knocked out like champions because we're fucking good like that. It was just crazy because, you know, like, it's that time of the year, like, you're closing in on the holidays. Like, most of the other stuff we would have done would have been done by now, but it's just the last minute things are just small things. But, man, just trying to navigate the store. Bro, I got to tell you, if you are in a store and you're shopping for whatever it is you're getting, right, you have every right to be there. But everybody else does, too. So, move out of the fucking way. I don't know how many times we would look down an aisle and there'd just be like three people with their shopping carts like slammed right next to one another. So it means nobody can get through. Just like no spatial awareness, no, you know, situational awareness even about like, oh, there's other people who are shopping here. They might need to get past me. Why don't I stagger these carts a little bit so people can at least weave their way through here? I'm not saying you can't be there, you know what I mean? But like, show a little bit of decency. And if you see somebody near you, like, hey, do you need to get in here for this? Like, move out the fucking way. I think that's one thing that does irritate people about the holidays is that people tend to become so self-absorbed that like your average person is either gonna like sit there and just huff and puff and take it, Or they'll just go around and be like, fuck it, I don't need this headache, right? Well, then you just, you know, you're inadvertently ruining somebody else's day by not being aware of where you're standing. You know, if you're shopping or whatever, you're walking down the aisles, don't walk, you know, side by side like it's a fucking parade. Walk single file. You know what I mean? Like the sand people to disguise your numbers. You know what I mean? Treat the shopping aisle. You know, that's what you do. Treat the shopping aisles and stuff like that. And, you know, whether it's at like a TJ Maxx or a Best Buy or Walmart or your local grocery store, treat those aisles like y'all are all like a bunch of sand people in Star Wars and march down them shit single file. You know what I mean? Diminish your profile. Help other people out a little bit. It's crazy. It's tough. People are stressed. Like, do a little bit of just thinking, looking around, being aware of what you're doing. It doesn't take a lot, and it actually will make people feel a little bit better about you as a person. You know what I mean? And you feel better about yourself because you're like, hey, man, this I got stuff done, and I was efficient about how I was handling business. And stop driving through the parking lanes. Oh, my God. We talked about this numerous times. Floridians, I think, are the worst at it. Just driving between the parking lanes, they'll go to like an empty spot, right? Like, you know how your parking lanes usually have the handicap parking close to the store, and then it proceeds back towards the back of the parking lot, right? You get people to drive about like halfway down, and they'll see like an open spot between like two or three cars. And instead of going down and looping around near like the more empty end of the parking lane, which is kind of a dick move, but at least it's not as bad as like driving through the middle. Yeah, they'll just do that. Just drive right through the middle. And then before you know it, as you're trying to leave the parking lot, somebody just peekaboo pops right out in front of you because they weren't thinking. They weren't paying attention. And they just drive right out in front of you. The amount of times I've almost been T-boned by somebody or hit somebody almost head on because they were just driving through like when nothing else happening on the planet. If I had a dollar for every time, I'd have at least like 20 bucks, which isn't a lot, but it's way more than I should have for that particular scenario. You know what I mean? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, why are we doing this? And it's weird because it's not, if one thing, if it's like a teenager or, you know, maybe somebody who wasn't familiar with how like parking or like, you know, traffic structures and traffic flow works in the United States. Maybe they were just visiting from like another country, visiting family or friends, or maybe they're brand new here and they're just kind of getting the feel of things. I could excuse that. When you see some middle-aged soccer mom's got like stickers all over her car, or some older dude in a fucking truck who just figures just because his truck is 8 feet tall, he has the right of way to drive through and over everything. That sets me off fiercely. I really, really hate that. That makes me so mad. I want to just run up on him and just grab him by the head and shake him. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. Get it together. We're all here. Yeah, it's like, fuck. These people act like they're the only people on the planet. And that's really annoying because it's rude. It's thoughtless. And it's fucking dangerous. You know, we've talked about thoughtfulness and mindfulness a bunch on the pod. But it doesn't take a lot for you to just take a minute out of your day. Not even a full minute. We talked about this before. You could take a minute. You could take 2 minutes and break it up into 10-second chunks across the course of a day and just be a little bit more mindful of other people and a little bit less self-absorbed about what you're doing and why your shit is more important and think about somebody else. It can be the smallest of things. You know what I mean? Like we talked about before, like replace the toilet paper rolls if you know, or rinse your dish out, or you know, look before you decide to drive through parking lanes. You know what I mean? Just little stuff can actually make your experience in the world better, and also makes people feel better about you. Because if you're so self-absorbed that nothing exists until it's your turn to think about it, then you're making problems for other people, and they start to view you differently. It colors their perception of you. And it makes it harder for them to give a shit about when you have a real problem. Because they're like, you don't ever think about me. You never even bother to blink an eye in my direction or whatever. So why should I be worried about what your problems are? Don't be that guy. Be better. Just be a little bit better. And it's funny that this holiday stuff is coming up because I was trying to pick up some stuff to make some, I want to make some like Italian beef dip sandwiches. Or like maybe like a Philly cheesesteak with my low lactose baby stomach cheese. And I went to this Publix. This is the Publix in Hibernia in Orange Park. I'm in Orange Park, Fleming Park, actually. Fleming Island. I'm going to call them out for real. Just not paying attention, not being proactive, not anybody giving a shit. I walked up there and I was like, you know, ordinarily I would just get the little bucket of like frozen shaved beef. You know, like the stuff for Italian beef sandwiches, you can usually find it like a frozen tub in a lot of like, you know, especially up north. Sometimes you find it down here in like a Walmart or a Target or even a Publix or whatever. I was like, usually I'd get that, put it in the pot, let it cook in its own, like, you know, it has its own like, you know, au jus kind of thing going on. But I'm like, you know what? I can make something real cheap and easy. And the most expensive part about it would be the beef, because beef is expensive everywhere on, you know, in the North American continent anyway, especially in America. The United States of America. And I was like, you know what? I'll go up to the deli counter. I'll get them to slice some stuff real thin. I'll take it back to the crib, throw it into the pot. Au jus that bad boy up. I got some peppers and onions, and I forgot mushrooms. I would have got mushrooms, but peppers and onions and saute them joints. Put them on some ciabatta rolls after they've been toasted up a little bit. Throw some mayo on them, mustard, whatever. A little bit of cheese sauce. Call it a day. I stood in front of this counter for like 5 minutes while everybody walked around me or past me like I didn't exist. There's one lady behind there just carving meat for sandwiches. Another lady was just like walking around, moving shit from one shelf to another. There's a manager who was standing outside on the deli counter side, like where I'm standing, where a customer would stand. He just kind of looked at me, looked at his deli case, and then just wandered off. And then there's only one dude who seemed to be kind of focused on it, but you could tell he was picking up the slack for everybody else. So he's like, has anybody helped this customer yet? He's like, well, he tells him someone will be at them in a minute. He's like, we've already lost customers today because people aren't doing anything. Sorry, sir. I'm in the middle of running some orders right now. I'll be with you if I can. I'm like, you're fine. At least I see you're working hard and you're paying attention. These other people just kind of like walk past me like I was made out of glass. So, yeah, and the, like I said, beef ain't cheap. So it would have been probably like, you know, $15 a pound for the shit I wanted. That was like $45 worth of beef that I could have bought right there. And that would have been good money for them. But instead, I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go and get some cheap ass meat. And I went to the frozen case and I found some Steakums, which I hadn't had since I was probably like a teenager. And just how it happened that like each of these packages was like almost a pound and a quarter. And they were buy one, get one free. So I'm like, ew, let's get all this stuff. It was like a little bit more than that. It was like pound and a third. So I got like 5 1/4 pounds, almost 5 1/4 pounds of like Steakums that I made. And they were great. But I got them for like $15 less than I would have paid at the deli counter. So I got more meat, saved more money, and didn't have to deal with the aggravation of people who just didn't bother to do their friggin' jobs. Just weren't being mindful, weren't being thoughtful, just walked past me like I was nothing. Well, guess what? You know, some other company got this money. You could have got this money as a store, you know, because, you know, I'm going to buy your store brands because it's the deli counter, right? Now some other random company is getting their profit margins net because you guys weren't paying attention. Sorry for your luck. Yeah, like I said, you got to be mindful. And these people are costing their store money because they're not paying attention and doing their jobs. Any one of them could have probably taken like an additional, like, if nothing else, they could have taken like maybe 20 seconds. Again, 10 of those 120 seconds I mentioned earlier. They could have taken 20 seconds to talk to me, taken my order, and be like, we'll go ahead and carve this up. If you want to continue shopping, you can come back. That would have been satisfactory for me. I still had shopping I needed to do. Wasn't a lot, but it would have been enough that when I came back, they could have at least probably gotten around to working on my order instead of just ignoring me like I wasn't there. Crazy how that works, right? Just crazy. But yeah, that's something to keep in mind, though. Like I said, if you're out there doing stuff, you work retail, you work in any kind of job where you're forward-facing with the public, just be mindful. If you're out there shopping, you know, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just be mindful of other people. It's good to do just in general, but especially during holidays. You know, everybody's already, like I said, already stressed out. Maybe they're running behind. Maybe they had that one last minute thing they're trying to get and you're just in the fucking way. Just pay attention a little bit more. You know, I don't know what else to say about that. It's just crazy to me that people don't even bother to think about it at all. You know? Anyway, that's just, that was my little bits of stuff for this, for at least the last couple of days. Oh, I mentioned the other day, I think I may have mentioned this, Kimari, little baby cat, had to go in and get some x-rays. And, man, talk about, like, whew, talk about guilt trip. So, I take her to go get these x-rays. They're, like, they're part of her, you know, preventative healthcare plan, right? But we never really have to use them. So the lady in, I was talking to at the hospital, like the veterinarian's office, was like, you have these x-rays, you never use them. And it might not be a bad idea to give them a shot. Well, you know, she's like, especially your cat's getting a little older. She just turned 12 this year. It's like, it might not be bad to get a peek inside, see how everything's going, and make sure we can ward off any issues that might be on the rise. So we do that. I drop her off at the vet. She's mad at me. I pick her up from the vet, and they're like, everything went okay. You know, she's this, that, and the other. She's going to be a little drowsy. Bring her back home. And she is zooted, bro. Like, you ever seen a cat when they like smell something stinky and their mouth is kind of open, with the tongue hanging out? That's how she looked for like 8 hours after we got her back home. She could barely even recognize where she was. So I kind of like had to walk alongside her or pick her up and put her down onto things. And then to make her comfortable, give her lots of treats. And she hadn't had anything to eat for like almost 12 hours. So I was making like little soft foods for her so she wouldn't have like an aggressive, you know, violent stomach reaction from eating too much at one setting. And then she just kind of slept and she was fine. And then the next day the doc calls me and goes, yeah, everything seems to be pretty cool. She's got like a slightly larger heart than you would expect for an animal of her size, but we're going to chalk that up to, you know, she was always kind of a runt, but it's not in a dangerous area. There's no arrhythmia. There's no, you know, there's no murmur that we can indicate from the x-rays. But we did notice that she's had like some kind of, like, did she ever have a surgery or a major injury to her left hindquarter? And I'm like, no, I've had her since she was like an infant almost. And I've never seen anything like that. She's never expressed any pain or limped or anything like that. You're like, yeah, well, here's the funny thing about it. She doesn't have a fucking left hip joint. Like, what? She's like, yeah, if you look at the x-rays, you see the right one has that little cusp, like a little cup right there where the rotator cuff goes in, kind of like your shoulder joint, right? I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, did you see how on the left side it just ain't there? And I'm like, what? She's like, well, you know, you see like the ball joint right there where it normally would fit into the socket is kind of enlarged and kind of cauliflowered up. She's like, but it doesn't look like it's rubbing up against the bone itself. There's a cushion of tissue or something there that's kind of keeping her moving around. I'm like, you mean to tell me this cat has basically been like without a hip joint for 12 years and I had no idea? I felt so horrible. I must have cried for like an hour because I thought I was the worst cat dad in the world. Maybe she's been in pain all this time and she's, you know, just been hiding it well, because cats especially do really well with hiding when they're infirm, because it's a hunting thing. It's like if they show any weakness, man, they get got. So I thought maybe she's just been lurking, lumping. And she's like, no. She's like, if she's not showing any symptoms, she'd let you know she was in pain, but she's not showing any symptoms and she runs around, jumps, plays, and everything like a normal cat. Like she's found a way to cope with it over the years. So now I'm just being extra mindful about that left hip. I'm going to introduce some chondroitin and some other glucosamine supplements to kind of help cushion the joints as she gets a little older, stave off arthritis and whatnot. But man, can I tell you, I was in fucking tatters. I was crying at her and she's like, what's the matter with you, man? Just pet my belly. I'm good. And I'm a wreck. Because, you know, I love my cat. And she can't tell me like, hey, man, you know, I ain't got no cartilage back here, right? I'm like, oh no. And it turns out I think she might have cartilage built there and might have other tissue development that cushions that joint. It kind of functions as a hip joint, but isn't necessarily so. But, oof, man, that was a rough day. That was a rough afternoon, evening. I was feeling that one. So, but yeah, otherwise, the cat's fine. You know what I mean? They scraped a little tartar off her back molars. They're like, hey, it wasn't bad. It looked gross, but when you picked at it with those little hook picks or whatever, so we scraped that thing, and the whole thing fell right off. And all the teeth underneath looked clean and healthy. The gums looked healthy. It was just that one little weird spot of buildup. And she's fine. So I'm like, all right, way to go. My little badass is a fighter. So props to Kimari. If you got any pet questions or anything like that, I'm not a licensed veterinarian, but I got some knowledge about animal husbandry and stuff like that. Hit me up on the Patreon by going over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and send me an email. You can send me an email about anything. It could be about, you know, something, maybe you want some advice, maybe you want a good recipe for like the holidays, maybe you want
to talk some shit about some political stuff or societal stuff or relationship stuff or whatever, man. You want to talk video games? Holla at your boy. Let's get it going. Let's get it popping. And also, you know, while we're talking about, like, we're going to speed run the political shit because everybody knows it's basically hot garbage, right? Let's see some funny, like, some not funny, haha, but, like, funny, ironic kind of stuff. All right, so y'all heard that Melania Trump had basically, like, bankrolled her own documentary recently. I don't know if you saw this. I saw it the other night. I'm like, this can't be fucking real. Nope. It's called Melania. Supposed to come out in January. And this arrogant chick has, like, basically chronicled her life being in the White House. And up until, like, the second time Trump got elected, like, this last year. And, I just can't wait for this thing to flop. I want to see it to be one of the most pirated movies of all time. I'm not advocating for piracy. I'm just saying I think it will be because people want to see it, but they ain't trying to give Melania no money. This dumb dumb spent $40 million on a documentary. Like your average documentary runs, from what I was seeing, runs somewhere between $2 to $8 million. She spent almost five times as much money on one of the most expensive documentaries probably out there made. The only one I've heard that was even close was one that was made for like $30 million, but that's just ridiculous. But you're also talking about like, it was a Vietnam War thing, so you had to get like all this archival footage, you had to go and talk to, you know, survivors, you had to talk to, you know, different, you know, personalities and whatnot, whether they were in the military or in politics, and find them and get their interview. That probably costs a lot of money to travel around and, you know, get them all on this, on film. So I could see that. But it's just Melania basically taking like video graphic footage that was recorded by the White House or off of cell phones, putting it together and wanting it to be at the highest cinematic standard, to use her words. You know, this thing, it's ridiculous, man. I thought it was AI. And then they were like, no, she actually paid money to do this. I'm like, what? And guess who bankrolled the shit? You guessed it. Trump's buddy boy, Jeff Bezos, Amazon Films bankrolled this thing. So yeah, it's supposed to hit theaters. It'll probably hit Amazon Prime the same day and date. Nobody watched this thing. Nobody watched this thing. If you know somebody who yo-ho-hoed it, don't say anything because you didn't see it. But then go see it and then be like, what? What a maroon. What a maroon. They're all fucking wild, man. Rob Reiner. Like famous comedian and director, comedic actor and director, was murdered this past week. Him and his wife, Michelle, were murdered in their home by their son, Nick. And it's a horrible tragedy, obviously. Rob Reiner was, you know, his first foray into television and film, as I understand it, was playing Archie Bunker's son-in-law on the Archie Bunker show back in the day, All in the Family. You know what I mean? The Archie Bunker show. That show, All in the Family. But then he went on to direct a bunch of films that are like beloved around the world. And he's murdered by his son. And guess who decided to show up and talk shit? Yeah. Orange Man Baby Hands. And he was saying basically that, like, because Rob Reiner was very outspoken about Trump and his, you know, very draconian and racist and xenophobic and homophobic policy, and the way he moves and operates as a human being, forget the presidential stuff, which is wholly unpresidential. He proved it to everybody by typing on X that Rob Reiner was made sick and unwell and angered people by having Trump derangement syndrome, which really only applies to people who worship Trump. Anybody else who's upset about Trump is called a normal fucking human being. But this fucking buffoon had the gall to basically say it was Rob Reiner's fault for not loving Trump and worshiping at his feet that he got murdered by his son. And then went to go, oh, rest in peace. Man, fuck you. I hope Rob Reiner and his wife, wherever they are in the afterlife, are spitting down on this fool. That was so disgusting that even Republicans were just like, yo, that is a wild fucking take. You need to dial that shit back. But no, Trump won't do that. You know, when you got people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who are saying like, yeah, that's not cool. You know, you stepped hip deep in the shit. But it never seems to matter to these fools. Kristi Noem,
also known as the head of, why did I just blank? Basically, she oversees ICE and the immigration operation. So, you know, also a racist and a bigot and a curmudgeon who shot her own dog. You remember that story? Shot her own puppy. And the goat, too. Don't forget, you shot the goat. Turned 54 this past week. And yesterday, this fucking wretch decided to celebrate at a Mexican restaurant. They put a sombrero on her. They sang happy birthday to her in English and Spanish. I just hope that somebody spit in the guacamole, bro. Like, that's literally her just thumbing her nose at all immigrants, and particularly Latinos in general. Latinos as a group, I mean. Just going like, hey, fuck you. You gotta still make my food. You're only allowed to be here if you're gonna serve me. Man, so I would say it was tone deaf, except that I think it's just deaf. Like, there's no soul in that person. It's probably why her face keeps melting off. But like I said, they don't care. It's weird just seeing that. Actually, there was another story that came out recently, and this is like a little older story, but there's like a whole white nationalist convention that goes on in Tennessee, and the local Tennessee station up there, one of their affiliates caught them trying to sneak in to this little like convention center that's nestled in the woods in Tennessee. And boy, this dude, he caught everybody. He's standing outside where the checkpoint is to make sure that the people who were coming in were the registered guests or whatever. And he was getting the cameras all up in the cars, like, hey, you know, hey, Jim. He knew a couple of people, like he had interviewed them before. He's like, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? And they were like, oh, damn, this dude's here. But yeah. That was a wild bit to see, but they're getting caught out. They're getting called out for it. And I love that. Yeah. And this, I had to go check to make sure I had the right name for this thing. It's called the American Renaissance Conference. And News Channel 5 in Tennessee reported on this. This guy named Phil Williams has done a couple of these exposés about white nationalism and, you know, just hate groups in general. And even covered one in around the Tennessee, that same area in Tennessee, where a whole town of people were trying to get together to take over a small, currently existing town and like make it a whites-only community. But the people there were like, absolutely not. And this Phil Williams guy, he's awesome. He has a very interesting vocal cadence, which I find intriguing. But he also caught a couple of the people there who are going into the conference. He's like, hi, I've talked to you before. And the guy's like, I'm filming you because you're filming me. He's like, that's fine. He's like, we have a press permit. We're allowed to be here. We could talk if we want to. And even called out a couple of the people that he had interviewed. One of the guys whom worked for a group called Patriot Front, which is a very dangerous. And this is one of those ones that was like, we're going to build a community and it's going to be for whites only. And then he said he had ideological differences, but otherwise he agreed with the group and some of the other hate groups that were helping build this community. But then he like walked away from it. But now he's showing up at this AMREN conference. And Phil's like, I thought we talked about this, homie. What you doing? And the guy was like, well, you know, I mean, and it's like, yeah, hemming and hawing because you got caught going to the basically like a giant Klan rally. They were also known to be selling books like the Turner Diaries. There were some other, it was like the basically like the white version of Mind, like a white American version of Mein Kampf. But this Phil Williams dude, man, this guy's legit. But he caught him out in Dixon County in Tennessee. And he put them all on blast. I'm going to save the video if you want to watch it, because it's kind of funny to watch him just walk up to people like, what are you doing here? I thought we decided you weren't going to be a part of this. Isn't that what you said to me? And they're like, oh no. You love to see it, but you hate to see it. You know what I mean? It's fucking great. I like that he's not afraid either. You know, he's like, I'm not back down from you. Fuck you. And then, of course, you have the horrible shootings that happened in Australia on Bondi Beach during a, a Jewish, celebration day, where so many people were killed. And one gentleman who actually stood up and rushed the gunman was shot and injured, but managed to subdue him. And then the Brown University shootings are just like, it's like, dude, the temperature on
on hate crimes and on just gun violence is going way too high. It's way through the roof. It's not that it ever should be at a certain temperature. It should be nil. But I'm telling you, these hardcore, like MAGA conservative and white nationalist, quote unquote, Christian nationalist, racist people are amping up the heat. And the problem is that people are getting sick and they're starting to fight back. At some point, it's going to happen. Now, these two hate mongers who went and shot up all these people, they are a different breed and they need to be dealt with accordingly. But you're going to start to see people reaching out and being like, you know what? We could touch back too. You know what I mean? And it's not going to be any clearer than Mike Johnson, current Speaker of the House and all around just depraved, hateful, just spiteful human being, decided to help try to kill off the Affordable Care Act subsidies before they could actually have a vote. So some moderate Republicans had banded together with Democrats to try to push a resolution forward that would have made the Congress have to vote, right? It's called a discharge petition. It was basically forcing a vote to approve these ACA subsidies that would fund people's health care going into 2026. But because Mike Johnson is a pissant and he's a sycophant of Donald Trump, instead of doing what the people, like again, these are people who represent the United States of America, instead of listening to the people and doing his job, decided to call an early holiday break so that they wouldn't have to vote on anything. Because they thought it wasn't going to pass the House, and it did. And it was about to go all the way to the Senate, where it was rumors that like a lot of other Senate Republicans were like, we got to do this. You know what I mean? Not because they give a shit necessarily, but because they're like, if I don't make this happen, the people in my constituency are going to show up at my house. You know what I mean? I might get Luigi'd out here if I don't get people their health care. Well, you could thank Mike Johnson and your own fucking actions for whatever happens to you next. Because he decided to go ahead and quash the vote by calling Congress, you know, to rest and putting them on vacation, putting them on hiatus until January. So a lot of people are going to lose all the health care that what little bit they still have left. People who weren't already suffering from the changes that are going to happen to Medicare and Medicaid. Now, even more people who are on the Affordable Care Act programs are going to suffer as well. So if you're out there and you voted for Trump and you voted for some of these, you know, MAGA Republicans, or if you just voted, you know, Republican just because, you got what you voted for. And so in turn, you did it to everybody else too. So if anybody hates you for it, they don't let you have any of the, they don't invite you to their Christmas dinner or whatever, you know, they don't have you hanging around them anymore. That's your fault. You brought that on yourself. You also heard that there's a new CEO over at CBS or somebody over at CBS named Barry Weiss. And basically what she did was, because CBS is also bowed to Trump as well, she decided to just start gutting minority personnel at CBS en masse. There's a couple reports of this that have popped up over the last week or so. But one gentleman was recording himself as he was leaving CBS because he was told he was fired when he was walking in. And like a bunch of his other minority compatriots that worked there were kicked out, and the other white people who worked there were reassigned to other positions. So basically, they got rid of all the black and brown people they could get rid of, or at least they figured they could get rid of in some form or fashion, and then reshuffled around all the white people to kind of cover the gaps, which is gonna bite CBS too. And I feel like it's one of those things where we have to start boycotting all these companies and all of these industries that are doing this kind of shit, like en masse. Otherwise, they're gonna keep doing it. You know, vote with your dollars. Vote with your time watching their stuff. Oh, I have such and such streaming service, or they're going to do such and such thing for this. I'm not watching that. I'm not going to put my eyes on that. I'm not going to feed into it. It's like, it's a small action, but it's an action that anybody can do. Just saying, instead of turning the TV on for this, I turn the TV off. You know what I mean? And don't think everybody's, you know, immune to this. I mean, we talked about Netflix and Warner Brothers trying to join forces, and that's going to be a mess. It's like, you won't be able to do shit no more. Yeah, you better have a good VHS or DVD collection somewhere, because, you know, network TV, streaming services, they've all gotten so wrapped up in, you know, taking political stances and fighting for stuff that only pads their pockets and doesn't pay anything into the people. I don't mean necessarily by money, but by like the very virtue of the service itself, they're going to fail. They're going to fail hard, and they need to. And we need to make sure that as uncomfortable or as, you know, inconvenient as it might seem on the surface, if we don't do something to hold them to account, we're part of the problem. We end up just adding to the problem because they don't have to care as long as they see that we're too lazy or apathetic to even make a mark. It's just that simple. You know what I mean? I hate it as much as you do because, you know, I like my media, I like my music, I like my games and all that jazz, but like, I'm not going to sit here and try to be complicit in this as much as I can afford it and avoid it. I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, my Xbox is going to be good and usable for probably like another month or so, maybe until like the 15th. And then it's going to be a brick because I'm not paying any more money to get Xbox Live, bro. Like, fuck Xbox. They also, Microsoft and Xbox have laid down at the feet of Donald Trump too. You know what I mean? God, I mean, Bungie. Wow, Bungie. When ICE used an image of Spartans on a warthog, if you don't know the game Halo, it's from the video game Halo. They used imagery from the Halo video game to basically say that they were, you know, recruiting for ICE, and not a peep from Microsoft or Xbox about it. Not word one. And it's just out there. They want the hate to continue because they have to, you know, as long as they keep doing that, then, you know, baby hands won't get mad at them. You know what I mean? Won't levy any kind of tariffs against their industry or against their products or, you know, companies. And they can just continue to skate by swinging from his little shriveled berries. Sounds great, doesn't it? What a place to be. But also, you know, the crazy pants is talking about for the 250th celebration of, you know, America's birth or independence or whatever. He wants to do like this a Hunger Games style event where like four representatives from every region, as he calls it, he didn't say district, would come to compete in like an athletic showdown for like 4 days. Like, what is this? We already have the Olympics. Are you really doing the Hunger Games now? Like, you, I think he really believes TV is real. I think he actually believes TV, that's dementia at work. He thinks TV is real. He's waiting for a Katniss Everdeen. Oh, he's hoping a Katniss Everdeen doesn't show up. But he wants to be President Snow. But he's President Orange. It's Agent Orange. Secret Agent Orange. It's wild. Like, the news is just wild, bro. It'll make you crazy if you let it. It'll make you crazy if you let it. But I'm saying this stuff just so you're aware. Because sometimes I miss stuff. So if you think of something that I've missed that you want to hear my opinion on, or you want to like maybe chop it up over, maybe you want to share your thoughts. Maybe you think I'm a little off the beaten track on something I need to get right. Maybe I missed a topic that like deserves to be presented. Hit me up at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Send me your emails. I want to read more emails on this show. It'd be awesome. So it's not just so much incoherent rambling or whatever. It's not wholly incoherent, but you know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. It's one of the reasons I say this kind of stuff is because I see a lot of like misinformation out there in the world, and it bugs me that people just kind of like skate right past it, you know? I'll tell you what's not misinformation, and that's the football! The football is actually good information. We synced it. We synced it already. I synced it. Dude, as much football as I could digest this past week, I tried to get a hold of. And this week coming up is going to be a rough one. It's going to be a tight one for everybody. Because like I said, you're coming into the playoff season. The belts are getting a little bit tighter. The games are getting a little bit tighter. People are like, you know, scraping and clawing for their divisional seats. It's going to be rough this next couple of weeks, man. Mark my words, these next couple of weeks are not going to pass by without any incident. There's going to be some wild games this week, and I have no idea which way they're going. So let's break down last week's games as much as I could. Like, a couple of these games I couldn't watch. Obviously, I'm not going to really get to see Chicago very often. Did manage to catch Jacksonville versus the New York Jets, and that was a banger of a game. And still, Jacksonville struggling with the penalties. Yet again, Trevor Lawrence having to run around a little bit more than I would like, obviously, but I was still getting it done. Some missed some missed opportunities, you know, and then some really ticky-tack calls that I think the refs are like, we got to throw a little bit of something this way, then we can throw a little bit of something that way. We can't let the Jacksonville Jaguars just beat the piss out of the New York Jets. They could have, because Jacksonville was on track to take this game into the 50-point margins. But in a decision to preserve Trevor Lawrence, I guess, for next week's game, or this week's game, actually, against the Denver Broncos, they took him out with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and they put in this kid Mullins, who just stumbled all over himself the end of the game. And it's like, you know what? I get trying to preserve your franchise quarterback, but get a better backup, bro. This dude seemed lost. Even still, while the Jaguars had like a substantial lead going into the third quarter, they managed to close it out, winning against the New York Jets 48-20. So that's a good thing. That was one of my picks for last week, that saying they would win, and they did in fabulous fashion. Pittsburgh also stood off against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, stood off against the Miami Dolphins and managed to beat them fairly soundly. Not like a blowout, but 28-15 is a pretty decent margin. And good job for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, keeping them records up. I don't really give a shit about the Steelers as much because I don't really like Aaron Rodgers. I think the team itself is all right, but it's not my team. It's just, you know, it's a family thing, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to be supportive of the family. But yeah, it was a game, and it was decent. And I think that they're getting to the point right now where either Aaron Rodgers is going to have to, like, you know, get a bionic replacement or something like that, or they're going to have to find somebody else who's a little bit less combative on the field. And Rodgers has like this really weird thing, like he acts like he's still like 25. And like he can still shoot, and he can still shoot down the field like he used to. And he got it, but he only got it like a little bit. I hate it for y'all, because I mean, everybody's like, Aaron Rodgers, discount double check. Man, so I need to check him real quick, because he's losing it. But then there's the great news, and that is that the beloved Chicago Bears went to go and smack around the Cleveland Browns. This was an ass whooping. Chicago beats the crap out of the Cleveland Browns, which I knew was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to be like this. 31-3. Now, this is one of the games I couldn't watch. I caught a little bit of the highlight reels and stuff like that, but Chicago put on an ass-kicking clinic this week. And they basically let the Browns know, hey, man, you're going to have to come back next year. This ain't it, fam. No matter how good you do the rest of the season, you are losers. But the problem is that next week, like I said, any given Sunday, it's getting really rough out here. So Pittsburgh is facing off against the Detroit Lions. And they're going to be at home in Detroit. So technically speaking, the Lions are a little bit more solid at home. The Steelers are about half and half when they're home or away. When they're on away games. So I don't know. This also looks like one of those games that's like too close to call. I'm going to give the nod. Oh, man. This is a really tough one. I'm going to give the nod to the Lions, and I want to be wrong about this week's picks. I want to be wrong about this week's picks because I have a feeling that everybody's going to take an L this week. That's just my suspicion. Because, again, you see, like, going back up the list, Jacksonville is facing off this week against, like I said, the Denver Broncos, who are 12-7, and whose schedule has kind of remained a mystery to me. I don't know. Seems like sometimes they get beat by teams they should have easily cleaned out. Like the couple times they got beat, I think they could have easily cleaned out the other teams that they run up against. But like then it's like, all right, so you lost to the Chargers, you lost to Indianapolis. You'd think like they were, because you know they were some of the world beaters. You know, they're like, oh, these are two of the best teams in the NFL, and then they get to the middle of the pack and they get smoked. So I don't know what that says about the Broncos. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's necessarily that, like, they've had, like, a smooth cruising schedule. But look at some of the teams they beat. I mean, just from the beginning of the season. Tennessee. Cincinnati. Philadelphia. The Eagles aren't slouches, but the Jets. The Giants, which is also not a slouch team. The Cowboys, which are kind of a flake. The Texans, which are kind of slack team. Kansas City, which is not the Kansas City you guys remember from a couple years ago. The Washington Commanders, The Vegas Raiders, they played twice and beat twice. And then they beat Green Bay, which is bizarre. So I don't know that the Jaguars are going to take them. This is another close game. I'm going to give the nod to Denver because I want to be wrong about that one too. But all these games are pretty, you know, they're a little close to call right now. It's getting good when you have to worry about who's going to be able to do what from week to week. And, you know, I mean, we're going to really start to see teams shake up a lot over the next couple of days. Now, this coming Saturday, there's a game with the Packers and the Bears. This is their second meeting this season. And like I said the other day, historically speaking, I think I mentioned this last week. Historically speaking, Chicago versus the Bears, it's like a 1-in-5 situation. Like the Bears win 1 out of every 5 that they meet up with the Packers. And I'm hoping that they win this week, but I'm going to put the L on there. And I'm going to put the dub on, I'm going to put the W on the other team, on the Green Bay Packers, not because I want to, but because I'm hoping against hope that I'm wrong about all of these. I think that this week might be the week that all three of these teams actually catch a hard L, and that's unfortunate, but I mean, you win some, you lose some, right? I don't know what to say about it other than that. I'm really hoping I'm wrong. And, you know, let's close off. We got a little bit of video game stuff that's going on. The Game Awards happened this past week, hosted by Jeff Keighley, who's been a big proponent of the Game Awards. And as everybody predicted, Expedition 33 just cleaned up. It was almost like no other games were made this year. And I get that X33 is very beloved and it's well-crafted for those people who liked it. Like I said, I've never been a real big fan. And it's mainly because like the first hour or two I played of it, I was like, whatever this is, I'm not for. And maybe it's just that it's not built for me, which is fine. But to assume that it would sweep so many categories in such a huge way, like almost no other game existed, kind of, I don't know, man. It didn't feel rigged, but it definitely felt like somebody put their thumb on the scale just a tiny bit. You know what I mean? Like maybe brushed up against the scale a little bit. I mean, tell me all the other wonderful games that came out this year. None of them deserved a nod. None of them. None of them could have beaten X33 or E33 in any of those categories. I don't know, man. I call shenanigans. That's just me, though. But I also noticed that there's a lot of stuff that's changed, too, because Xbox has basically shat the bed and it's turned into like, basically a PC PlayStation showcase. You get a little bit of Switch 2 sprinkled in there, but the Xbox platform is dying. And it's unfortunate because it's one of my most beloved consoles. But, you know, with the Game Pass missteps, you know, the failures to actually kind of like branch out into different genres and to focus on, you know, the independent things. ID at Xbox used to be one of those showcases you watch and be excited about. They've steered so hard into AAA gaming and into microtransactioning the shit out of everything they do that they're deserving the L that they're getting, you know. They've really kind of shot themselves in the foot. I was even looking at some of the games on Game Pass, and like most of them don't even intrigue me anymore. Like there's a handful that I have that I've either gotten that I downloaded through Game Pass or I purchased because I had them on Game Pass. And I was like, oh, I tried this on Game Pass. I liked it. I'll buy this one, which was what I think Game Pass was originally kind of like poised to do. Whether that was intentional or not is inconsequential. Xbox Game Pass and by proxy, I guess PC Game Pass too, were kind of set up as a way for people to test out new games, try before you buy, and then when you got a chance, you could buy it for a discounted rate, which would put a lot more money into Microsoft's coffers if they didn't treat it like a premium streaming service, which is what they've done by increasing the price of the premium package for Game Pass to $30 a month. People are like, fuck no. You know what I mean? $30 a month? For 12 months? Are you out of your fucking mind? I've seen people who cut their access to Game Pass in half by switching down to like the basic, you know, $15 a month package. And like, I still get a bunch of games. I'm not getting as many as I used to, but I also don't have to have Ubisoft and EA shoved down my throat. A bunch of bullshit for Fortnite and Call of Duty that nobody really seems to want except for the people who play those games. But the average gamer isn't just focused on just those, you know, four games or four game companies. So it was really distressing to see so much shit come out for other game consoles and like hardly anything for Xbox this time around. But I guess that's why E33 won so much, because people could try it on Game Pass and they never had to bother buying it. And there's now they're coming out with a new set of DLC for E33. So Clair Obscur Expedition 33 is going to get some more back-end content that's a way of thanking the users. And I actually, like, while I might not like the game itself, personally for me, I think that the way the studio Sandfall and the other developers that worked on it are doing the right thing. And there's a lot of former Ubisoft developers that worked on this game too, which is a great way to thumb their nose at Ubisoft and be like, see, we don't need you to make great games. We were good enough doing this on our own. We can step out and do this with somebody else. So I do give them mad props for that. And I like the way that they kind of, you know, all dressed in the like the traditional like French mime outfits, which were kind of cute and adorable to watch them do. So I'm really happy about that for them. Sad for Xbox, but hey, man, you know what? Hey, they fucked up. They made mistakes and they didn't bother to correct them, address them, or even pay attention to what was happening. So when they fall apart, and they will, they only have themselves to blame. Same thing with Bungie too. And we haven't talked about Bungie a lot, but even with the new Renegades expansion, which is fun to play, there's a lot of stuff that's broken. There's a lot of stuff that's not like quite up to polish. And it's bad that they've sold us nostalgia because they've attached the Star Wars branding and everything like that to it. I would be lying if I said it wasn't fun to play, but it does make me feel like, man, I'm really glad that it was gifted to me and I didn't buy this because I wouldn't have. And I feel bad for saying that to a certain degree because I love the game of Destiny. I just don't love Bungie. And I really want them to get bought out by somebody, anybody. Well, maybe not anybody, but somebody who's conscionable and willing to listen to players and not microtransaction people to death, which is, like I've said before, is a huge problem in the industry. And then the whale hunting that's going on really in game economies is actually predatory. Like by making such, you know, making cool content like the stuff for Renegades, the Star Wars expansion for Destiny, which is what it is, like the X-Wing ship that you can get, the TIE fighter ship that you can get, you know, costumes and other, you know, color schemes and consumables that you can use. It's really just digging into people's pockets as a way to keep Bungie funded. And I find it really predatory and hateful, honestly. It's a way to basically tell the gamers, hey, we don't give a fuck about you. We just want your money. We don't give a fuck about making even really good games. We just want to take your money. And the fucked up part about it is a lot of gamers keep falling for it. And I've been trying to do my best to encourage people to just back away from it. But I'm just one man screaming into a microphone, dude. I can only do so much. So until other people decide they want to vote with their wallets, I mean, I'm just going to be here doing me. A couple of little things, too, I will say about the Game Awards. I noticed there was one game, I can't remember the name of it right now, but they're like, in our game, I'm trying to remember the name of it, I was going to have to go back and watch it again, but they're like, the funny thing I've noticed is like a lot of games, when they have like a character designer, especially in an RPG or whatever, they're like, in our game, you can be anyone you want. You can play the game however you would like to play. You can realize yourself however you want to. They go into the character creator, I'm like, we have so many robust features for, you know, this, that, and the other, and you could design your hair and your clothes and your style and your skin color, and then they proceed to make a basic white dude. Like, almost every time, they just make a basic white character. And I get it, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people want to see themselves reflected in a game. But if you're trying to showcase your character creator, show me some different looking characters, for fuck's sake. Stop making the same white dude, you know what I mean? I know that Jermaine worked hard on creating this, but God damn it, other people out there play the game, have different color skin. Try doing one of those. Like, I don't give a shit how it looks. Just try one. And the other thing that was really annoying was during the whole Game Awards thing, they had this one presentation where the cast of the new Street Fighter movie came out. Oh my God. I wanted to throw my laptop into the retention pond. This movie, Street Fighter has never had a good record when it comes to live action films. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The only good live action adaptation that I've seen in my lifetime has been Street Fighter Assassin's Fist on YouTube. YouTube people made a better version of Street Fighter than Hollywood studios have ever made. Every other live action version of Street Fighter has been terrible. And this looks like it's going to be even worse than the original Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme as not an American soldier, but a UN peacekeeping captain in Captain Guile. Yeah, it's going to be worse than that. And go look at the cast. I don't want to put any more shine on this. Go look at the cast of the new Street Fighter movie and tell me you're genuinely impressed. And if you are, I have a bridge for sale right now. And it's cheap. It's mad cheap, I promise you. You can email me at NigerianPrince454@AOL.com. And I'll give you the particulars and the price sheet so you can see what you're going to buy. Because if you believe that movie looks great, I could sell you anything. Ugh, gross. Anyway, that's been a lot of bit of rambling. We're going to see if we can get some more acting work here. I'm trying to get some more stuff. I went to this site called voices.com. I'm going to talk about them out loud because I feel like they're kind of shit too. It's supposed to be a place where you can go to look up voice acting jobs and connect like the voice acting community, people who are hiring, people who are also like working as actors in the industry. But when I went there, like I said before, we talked about this a few months back, the enrollment price for this thing is $500. I'm like, absolutely not. I'm not paying you $500 to maybe possibly get a job. I did that once with backstage.com. And I paid like $100 for a year. I got nothing out of that fucking site. I'm like, I'll never do this again. And I had a lot of jobs that I signed up for and I got like emails and whatnot, but I never got an actual job. The one they wanted me to do, the one job I actually got the closest to was actually dinner theater. And I'm like, word? Dinner theater? They're like, yeah. And it's a revolving cast. And here's the other thing, which means like you might get up maybe once or twice a week if you're doing the show. If they do the show for like 3 weeks, they probably do like 4 or 5 shows a week. You might get up for one of those 4 or 5 shows. And because it was also a murder mystery, sometimes you could just be cut out entirely. Like your character could get killed off in the first 10 minutes and then you're just done. So I'm like, I'm basically getting all dressed up, hair, makeup, whatever the fuck, drive all the way out here, spend my gas to get here and maybe get, you know, like, not even SAG rate for this? Hell no. But almost every job search site now is kind of predatory. And they're also, there's a lot of scams on there. Like, you'll see something in, like, the email addresses you spare, the spell funky and weird. You get an automatic response. That was one of the jobs I applied for. Give me a response in, like, 5 minutes on a Saturday. So I'm like, this has definitely been read by a computer. And then the email came back with like a bunch of weird misspellings and shit. And like the address hotmail.com was spelled out in all words. I'm like, no, I am not giving you any of my information. Screw that. And then what wasn't that was like almost every other job was somebody trying to train, pay voice actors like $500 a pop or whatever. And they would be able to basically use you to read voice lines so they can use their AI model to scrape your voice and create their own AI voice actors. And then they're very clear on saying you would not get paid in perpetuity. You would get paid a single flat rate fee to talk into a microphone, read a codex of words and sounds, and then they would just have your voice forever and you're screwed out of it. You could actually hear yourself in an AI created commercial like a year or so from now, and there's not a damn thing you could do about it. Because you took the money and sold your own voice off to somebody else. That's crazy to me. It's really discouraging if you're trying to look for a job in one of these creative fields to see so many people leaning so hard into AI that you feel like you have no place anymore. It's one of the more depressing trends that I've seen. I actually heard somebody talk about this recently on a different podcast, which I can't remember right now. But the young lady was saying, yeah, he's like, these companies are very clear about saying they want to replace as many human beings as they can with AI because the AI costs them so much less. Like the infrastructure that they built to make this shit work ruins communities, ruins the environment because of all the land it takes, the amount of waste it produces, the amount of heat and light pollution and noise pollution it creates in the communities in which these people live. But they're like, as long as we can replace everybody's, we can get rid of with robots, we're going to do it. And if you dummies keep walking up to the microphone, keep walking up to the booth, put your head on the chopping block, they're going to keep trying. So fuck AI. AI is theft. That's all creativity theft. And especially in creative pursuits, like, you got to be mindful about where you put your head with this thing. You think I'm wrong? You got something to say about it? Hit me in the podcast emails, patreon.com/wandering1studios. Let's talk about it. I may do a stream later on today. I'm not sure, because this is going to come out in about an hour or so, depending on when you hear this. You might hear this immediately. You might hear it like an hour or a day from now. But I'll hopefully be back in the saddle on Friday on twitch.tv/linkib, another platform I'm trying to extricate myself from, because Twitch is also owned by Amazon, and they got us by the short and curlies over there too. I'm going to recommend this to you guys. If you're going to continue to use Twitch, go ahead and pay for the turbo. You know what I mean? Get the commercials out the way, and then whatever you save on subscribing to a bunch of other creators, go to their pages and donate to them directly. They give all that money instead of Twitch getting half of it. And you'll at least be doing yourself a solid by not having to listen to all the ads and stuff. And you'll be helping the creators out more directly and make more of an impact in their lives. I know you don't have a lot of disposable income. None of us do. But at the very least, we can be a little bit smarter about how we decide to dispose of it. So that being said, I'm going to get out of here. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. And I'll see you guys again, hopefully next week. Everything will be moving pretty smoothly. I'm going to try to maybe get that podcast out, because next week on Wednesday is actually Christmas Eve. And so I'd like to spend more of that time with the family as opposed to sitting in here and recording. But we'll have to wait and see how things shake out. But keep your ears open and keep your eyes on the prize, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. He's and they, she's and gays. I've been Link IB, a.k.a. Link Flores. AKA The Wandering One. And this has been another episode of The Wandering One podcast. I love you. I appreciate you. Happy holidays, whatever it is you celebrate. I know, Kimari, I'm coming. That's her crying out at the door. Yeah, remember to drink some water while you're doing all your holiday festivities. Stretch. Keep your body moving. And be nice to one another. And I'll see you wanderers a little further down the road. Peace.